It's time.
It's time.
Time to get in the zone.
Time to get in the zone.
With the 49ers Web Zone.
This is the No Huddle Podcast.
With Al and Brian.
49ers Web Zone, No Huddle Podcast. We are part of the Odyssey Network. I'm Al Sacco. He's Brian Renick, and we are joined by one of our favorites in the business. She's NFL Network's analytics expert, and you can see her every Sunday on NFL Game Day morning starting at 6 a.m. Pacific on NFL Network. And check out her new YouTube show, The Numbers Game. She is Cynthia Freeland. Cynthia, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to come on with you guys. Happy bye week. I mean, you know, you get to relax a little bit this week. No changes to, you know, to wins or losses. So all good.
Yeah, just have to worry about our fantasy teams. And you're also in one of my favorite shows, Fantasy Live. So I should have mentioned that. Do you have randos come up to you on the street and try to talk to you about their fantasy teams?
I do. I actually like it. So I'm like, we're sharing, you know? The funniest part is, you know, I'm on with Adam Rank and people are always like, do you guys hate each other? I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I can't speak because he makes me laugh so hard that sometimes I just have to like sit there and wait until I can compose myself to get it back together. So.
Yeah, you guys seem like you have good chemistry. It doesn't seem like you hate each other at all.
People are like, he's like my brother, you know, like.
Yeah, yeah. We got to talk about the Niners here a little bit because we, again, early in the season, not looking great. They're banged up, but looks like some reinforcements are on the way. They may get McCaffrey back and maybe they turned a corner against the Cowboys. But the NFC West is tight. According to your model or just what you've seen from them, what do you expect from the Niners in the second half and the NFC West as a whole?
Yeah, the West is interesting because the schedule for the Niners is awful. I mean, that first place schedule is so much more difficult. Now we have, you know, just a reminder of people, it's like three unique games against first place teams from last season as opposed to just two. And now you're fighting for just one playoffs by as opposed to, you know, before there used to be two. So it does make things significantly different when it comes to figuring it all out. I mean, I think some people are more worried about the Niners than I am. I mean, as long as Fred Warner's there, like, I think I'm okay. But, you know, it's not fun to not have your best players there. It's not easy to overcome. I mean, like, I'm never worried about, like, the running back position, but it's not like Christian McCaffrey's a running back. You know, he's so much more than that. Yeah. So I always know Kyle Shanahan's going to figure out how to get the run game going, but like, that's not what Christian McCaffrey is. He's just like all of the things. So that's why it's so different.
Cynthia, watching the 49ers this year, as fans, we've watched and been a little frustrated with how things have gone. Obviously 4-4 is not what you anticipate. But at the same time, been here before, you know, 2021, 2022, go into week 7, week 8, 3-4, like, you know, exactly where they are now. In terms of how the team itself has performed on the field, what do you think has been the biggest change for them from last year to this year on the offensive side of the ball, outside of obviously Christian McCaffrey not being there?
Well, I think the interesting part is the percentage of Brock Purdy's throws that are in the air as opposed to coming off of yak. The catch and run is like the hallmark. I mean, for the past 8 seasons prior to this one, the Niners led the league in the amount of yak from the quarterback's throws and this yards after the catch. And this year, that's not the case. In fact, Brock Purdy's like down lowest, second lowest all throughout the entire season. So that's a big change. And when you're putting the ball in the air more often, you have chances for it to be turned over more often, right? If you're running, typically running plays don't have as high of a turnover rate as passing plays do. It's just, you know, math, right? So that's a big difference. And I think that also creates a different sort of structure pre-snap that things look a little bit different. You're kind of having to do it based on personnel situations, but that is a big change. You know, that is a massive change.
Yeah, Purdy's been so scrutinized this year. I feel like he's scrutinized almost play to play, you know, let alone week to week. It's crazy for somebody as a 7th round pick. You feel there'd be more people who, you know, it's an underdog story, but people are divided on him. And now the talk is, should the 49ers pay him? We certainly think that they should. We love Purdy. What's been your take on him this season as a young quarterback and how he's developing? And do you think he's somebody, yeah, the Niners should commit big dollars to this offseason?
I mean, there aren't 32 starting level guys, like, period, full stop. So the opportunity to, like, paying people sounds funny. I mean, the way you need to do it is to pay him in a way that reflects the opportunity to get the pieces around him that you need. So that like that means figuring out how the cap works, not paying him. It means maybe don't guarantee it in the same way Kirk Cousins got a guarantee. Like it's not about how much, it's about how to get it to amortize over the right number. These are not sexy terms, right? But the teams that do it right, I mean, you see these teams like the Chiefs, they will keep changing voidable years, all these different things that the Niners very well know how to do, right? So it's not about not, and listen, good for Brock Purdy, he should take it as a big compliment that people are willing to scrutinize him and be like, should we pay him? Should we? Because you know what? Like, there are a lot of guys that were drafted in the first round that ain't nobody talking about in that same way at all. So it's kind of a, you know, like a double-edged sword. Like, it stinks because you're like, shouldn't someone have some empathy for this kid? But like, on some level, it's also respect.
Is there anything that you have seen in his game up to this point where you would be maybe a little bit concerned? Again, when you do pay your quarterback a lot of money, it can tend to hamstring you a little bit in your roster construction. Although obviously we see teams like the Chiefs who seem to have it pretty well figured out. Do you feel like there's anything that the 49ers as an organization should be hesitant on, or do you think he's shown enough, you know, again, Alan, I think he has, but do you think that he's shown enough to be like, yeah, this is your guy, whatever you need to do to get him in there, do it. And he will, you know, he will be able to lead that team, even if, you know, you're not, as people love to say, surrounding him with the Avengers moving forward.
I mean, the thing that's like, you got to remember, like, a lot of this thing, like, scarcity in the marketplace determines a lot of what's going on. So you're going to have to pay him, because look at the replacement. The Giants are one of those happens to be. But also some of the other things that are coming this year that are kind of interesting in terms of who to pay and who not. For the first time in as many years as I can remember, it's actually a pretty good defensive tackle class. It is not a good O-line class, at least as of right now. You know, it's early in the process. Maybe someone could pop out or stand out. But, you know, so you've got some of the pieces that are already, like, you've got the wide receivers. That's great. That's a very expensive position. You know, corner, there's always things that you can look for. But, you know, in terms of who to pay and what, I would say start figuring it out now, which I'm sure they are. You know, don't wait till this, don't do what the Bengals did with Joe Burrow and make it push it off into the distance so that all these other guys could sign this contract first, keep resetting the marketplace, because the comps are just like the neighborhood for you where you buy your house, right? Like, the markets, and by the way, the market's not going down, it's just going up, right? So, you know, San Francisco neighborhoods, you are not getting a discount on any of it. You are going to have to pay no matter what. So ultimately what you're looking at with that is, let's figure it out now, get ahead of the game. And then you can figure it out with what's going on in the draft and who's going to be available. Defensive tackle, for example, this year, someone maybe you don't need to, like, you could use a rookie contract for that as opposed to doubling down on some of those contracts there.
Cynthia, how excited are you about your Lions right now? Because they, looking around the NFC, you know, I always think the Niners are going to end up being there at the end, but the Lions scare the hell out of me right now. What are you seeing around with the Lions and other teams in the NFC that are a real threat to make the conference championship?
I mean, the cool thing about the Lions is really seeing how Jared Goff has, like, made this massive step forward in the system, right? It's, you don't have three straight weeks of 158.3 passer rating under pressure without the run game working, the wide receivers having the right routes at the right time to run, and also, like, the tight ends doing all the things that we're seeing this year. You guys are used to it, but, like, the Lions fans aren't necessarily used to a guy blocking. Right. What? That's a new thing. But, you know, all of these things are, like, coming together. So seeing the team being cohesive, it, you know, I'm a little, they haven't gotten taken their medicine from Aiden Hutchinson not being there yet. You know, that hasn't come to bear any fruit yet, but it will. And some of these other things, like, I am a little concerned about the DPIs from Terrion Arnold, the rookie's great, but DPI is not something that I love, but, you know, there's some stuff to worry about, but it's really great to see the team really take on Dan Campbell's personality.
Yeah.
Dan's pretty fun.
Yeah, he's fun. What about some other teams? I mean, the whole NFC North looks good. The Packers look good. Minnesota's played well. Washington, you know, we'll see if they can stay, but the Eagles are coming up. What other teams besides the Niners and the Lions would you look to in the NFC as threats?
You know, I still think that, you know, Minnesota, it was a weird game. The Rams, no one knew Puka Nacua was even, we heard some rumblings Cooper Kupp might go, but no one knew Puka Nacua would be back. And he played one half of the week one matchup. You did not know. So I think they got a little bit caught off guard. Plus there was that thing that happened with the thing that maybe they were only two people. Anyways, I don't usually speak to that in terms of like shaping games, but maybe that one had a little bit of an impact on the matchup. But so I still think Minnesota's pretty dangerous. That defense is certainly dangerous. I think Washington's more disruptive in the East to the Cowboys than they are necessarily anyone else. You know, I think the Eagles will probably still, when it's all said and done, after kind of what's happened with their defensive front post their bye, being able to sack the quarterback now after not doing that in the beginning, I think the Eagles will still be a force to be reckoned with. They seem to have figured some things out in their pass game. And Jalen Hurts actually was running really fast this week. So, maybe they figured some things out as well.
You know, the trade deadline is less than a week away. It is next Monday. And there's been some movement already. Josh Uche goes to the Chiefs. Our guy Deontay Johnson, Al, got traded to the Ravens. We thought maybe that could be a target for the 49ers. If you were to step into John Lynch's shoes, what area of the team would you be looking to possibly upgrade for the 49ers going into this stretch run? And is it on the offensive side of the ball or the defensive side of the ball?
Well, I think the fortunate thing that John Lynch has is that you don't need to necessarily add guys that are day one starters. You want to add at the five main positions, meaning, you know, obviously you don't need to add a quarterback, but like, you know, pass rusher, every team could use a good extra pass rusher. Every team could use another corner. Every team, this team specifically, wide receiver would be a good one. But I actually think that this would be a smart time for any team to really look at the offensive line and add somewhere along the O-line. I don't care where, but when I'm seeing what's coming out of the draft, I just think maybe you add to the guard. Like, depth there, I know that left tackle is not a position you need, but maybe guard, you know, there's a number of spots where you could just add depth. It doesn't matter. That's you lose one, you lose 20% of it. So I just think any smart team right now would be looking for a guy who maybe they could, like, there just isn't a lot of depth in this draft class at those positions. And the Niners are going to be nowhere near a spot where they could get one. So, because they're going to be picking too late. So that's kind of one thing, just depth and corner depth, always corner depth, always every team corner depth. I could say that for everyone since the beginning of time.
Yeah, it's a little scary because the Niners are going to need to replace Trent Williams eventually. So at some point, they're going to have to get some linemen in there. You were on path to the draft after this recent draft, and you were very complimentary of what Kyle Shanahan did in the draft and the Niners did. And this rookie class has looked really good for them. Is there anybody that you've liked, whether it's Dominic Pooney or Renardo Green at corner, anybody that stuck out to you from that class so far?
Well, Pooney's been great, but I think Ricky Pearsall is going to take a massive step forward here in the next couple of weeks. I've already seen some really smart route running, great body control. Like, you know, it's very interesting. What I love about a Kyle Shanahan offense is all of the different options that appear to be the same pre-snap. And that's hard to kind of navigate. I don't know if, you know, I don't think they're teaching that in college. At least the film I watched of Ricky Pearsall, maybe they taught it, but they didn't use it. I don't know. But like, that's not a college offense at all. So ultimately, being able to create so much diversity, but looking the same pre-snap, he's already got that under control. So like, I actually think he taking this big step forward, that is a really key draft pick that will be really helpful. And plus, he's, you know, an awesome story, but like, you know, incredible. The body control, though, and to be able to not lose speed and turn left and right the way he does. You can't teach that. That is just innate.
Cynthia, tell the listeners a little bit about your YouTube station.
Yeah, so it's called, thank you, by the way, it's called The Numbers Game. And ultimately, you know, we at the NFL Network, we have this awesome like NFL Pro Plus, which is like a new like nerdy stat system. You can also do like playlists of, you can go on it and like see like every third and long from Brock Purdy this year and just like put it on awesome. In your like on your TV as this carousel. Or you can be extra nerdy and be like, I'm gonna go the next three opponents of the 49ers and just like scout them, right? But ultimately, it shows a bunch of extra stats. It gives you access to like every stat imaginable. So I go through and I model all of my stuff out, and then I find all the next gen stats that kind of match what my model is saying and just point them out. So every team gets one stat, and then there's kind of a bottom line which says this game is won because of X, and it's all in 30 minutes or less. So it's pretty fun. And we'll have some guests on for the trade deadline. You know, I always tell Kyle, I'm like, if you want to come on, you know, listen, I'm happy to have you. And I love to make fun of Kyle's pressers. He always just says like the bare minimum, which by the way, that's exactly what I would do if I were a coach too. But you know, it doesn't help us very much as outsiders. So I'm like, how about just come tell me everything you're going to do, and we'll, you know, you don't have to worry about that press.
Cynthia, keep up the great work, and thank you so much for coming on again.
Thank you so much for having me. Good time, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
That is on three. 1, 2, 3.
Sports is an Odyssey company.